Welcome to the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast, the first postseason edition for this year, and like a warm Javier Baez hug between second and third base in the wild card game, we're coming to you from Progressive Field here with Hoynesy. Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer. I'm Joe Noga. We got through September, Hoynesy.
Yeah.
The zombie tribe made it through the final month of the season, and now we're here. The playoffs begin on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of anticlimactic that, you know, they're going to face Houston in the ALDS. I think everyone knew they weren't going to have home field advantage. You know, Houston only won 103 games after winning 101 last year. So that is a juggernaut down in Texas that the Indians will be facing. And it was interesting. I think the Indians did the best job they could just getting through September in one piece. You know, no really critical injuries until, you know, Jan Gomes got his thumb smacked against Alex Gordon's bat in Saturday, but he looks like he's okay. He should be able to play Friday in game one of the ALDS. But I think it seems like the whole season is geared toward this, Joe.
Right.
I mean, you know, they've taken time to rest guys. They've taken time to get guys healthy, you know, to bring Bauer back on their schedule, not exactly his schedule. And now we're going to see if it all works.
And to me, the last month, this whole final, you know, stretch run of the regular season was more about getting their ducks in a row than it was winning games necessarily. I mean, Tito's philosophy is always, you know, you go out, you try and win the game that you have that day. And we get that. And Tito does, you know, he does the right thing, plays the game the right way, all that stuff. But at the same time, you know that they're moving pieces. It's like this long chess game, you know, trying to get things in position so that when this moment arrives, they're in the best position possible. And with what they're given, I think that they've probably done the best that they could.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. You look at the shift with Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donaldson comes in, has stayed healthy, you know, big plus, has swung the bat fairly well, looks good in the field. Kipnis, you know, as a result of his addition, you know, has played solid in center field. He hasn't been tested
overly tested. He hasn't been tested enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The surprise to me is Ramirez, who has not played well at second base.
No.
To me, I think he's looked out of sorts, kind of sloppy, has made some errors that tell me his head isn't there. And I don't know if it's his bat that he's worried about. You know, he had that long slump. So hopefully he turns this thing around. He, you know, puts this season behind him. You know, the hay's in the barn,
right.
And now this is a new one coming up right now.
Yeah, well, Hoynesy looks really weird. I agree. At second base, he took a ball off the chest in the last game of the season. And I'm like, he never takes that
he
ball.
He looks
like
so
that.
Hesitant to me.
Yeah.
And he's kicking.
Looks like he can't bend over and get a ball.
I don't know if he got too big, you know, to play third base, bulked up, or he's hurt. You know, he had that quad injury early in the season. We haven't heard too much of that. But, you know, he certainly hasn't run the bases like a guy that's hurt. But he just doesn't look, you know, everyone said one of the byproducts of the Donaldson trade was that this guy, they're moving Ramirez to his best spot in the field.
It improves their defense.
And it hasn't. Yeah. I mean, it really hasn't.
All right. With all that said, we found out today pretty much what we can expect to see for the roster. The team got through their workout today without any, you know, red flags or injuries. So we're expecting an 11-man pitching staff,
right,
as Franchione used in last year's ALDS, saying he wanted to maximize the roster and use, you know, different starters and long men in relief. And we'll get into that strategy in a bit, but let's just break down to begin with. There's the three starters we know: Kluber, Carrasco, and Clevinger. And then the bullpen, what do we have there?
Yeah, we've got the three lefties, Miller, Hand, and Perez. And then you've got the four right-handers, Cody Allen, Adam Simber.
Dan Otero,
and, five right-handers, and right.
Bauer and Bieber will also be in the bullpen. So that's your 11 in the bullpen.
Right.
The surprises there, obviously, are Simber and Otero.
Yeah.
And the sort of the guys left out, not making it, are Tyler Olson, who would have been a fourth left-hander, which is sort of unnecessary.
Yeah.
But he did nothing to take away from his seat. He came back after his time in the DL, and he was lights out.
Yeah, he was like the Tyler Olson from last year.
And I'm sure he's hanging around with the team, because if anything happens and they advance and they need a backup, they can always bring him along. But Josh Tomlin now, quite possibly has pitched his last game for the Indians.
Yeah, tough call, but... Francona was talking about it today, how he loves Tomlin. Tomlin has been here since he took over in 2013, longest tenured Indian. He's been here, and really he just didn't pitch well this year. He came back a little bit, in September, threw okay, but he just didn't pitch well enough. And I'm sure he knows it, but it's still a tough call, because this is a guy that won game two for you last year in the ALDS.
Right.
Came out of the bullpen to beat the Yankees in two scoreless innings. And is really, he's clutched up for him 2016. And you got to sit across the table and tell that guy, no, you're not on the roster. So, tough call. And, Ramirez doesn't make it. Neil Ramirez doesn't make it, and Adam Pluto doesn't make it,
and John Edwards also, who's
right,
on
John
the roster,
that's
a guy who, throwing 98 miles an hour coming out of the bullpen and doing nothing but striking guys out at the end of the season. Again, it was the White Sox and Royals, but still
a name to remember. I think this guy,
if
he comes back next year, he could be he's going to compete for a spot in the pen.
So that leaves 14 spots for position players. You've got your starting lineup, basically. Lindor, Brantley, Ramirez, Encarnacion, Donaldson, Alonso, Cabrera, Gomes, Kipnis. You need a backup catcher, so that's Perez.
Yes.
So that's 10. Then on the bench, you've got Allen, Yandy Diaz, and Brandon Guyer. That's 13. That leaves one extra space.
Right. And that's down to what Francona told us today was Eric Gonzalez or Rajah Davis.
So that's the question. Who do you keep, Rajah Davis or Eric Gonzalez? Part of me says, what happens if, God forbid, something happens to Francisco Lindor and you need a backup shortstop?
Right.
You would move, I guess.
You move Jose to short.
If you don't keep Gonzalez,
and move Kipnis, back to second, and put Greg Allen in center field. My gut tells me go with Davis. He gives you speed off the bench, but then last year was a perfect example. Edwin Encarnacion twists his ankle in game two. You expose Brantley and Chisenhall, who aren't ready to play every day, and it costs you big time. I mean, CC Sabathia could still be getting that lineup out.
Right.
To me, I go with the safety net, which Francona said, to kind of describe Gonzalez. I go with the utility guy, but Rajah, we saw what he did in game seven.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Fans are going to see that question posed, and they're going to say, "Oh, you got to go with Rajah Davis. Rajah, he hit that home run, and he can steal bases, and he's the sentimental choice there." I just don't know if he's necessarily the baseball choice when Greg Allen can steal you a base too off the bench,
and they're leading the league in stealing, or led the big leagues in stolen bases.
Right.
But Rajah,
four guys with 20 in the only team,
and Rajah played a part in that, definitely.
Yeah.
But, Gonzalez can play the outfield. We haven't seen him play the outfield this year, but he can play all over the diamond. I don't know. It's not a tough call to me.
And at the plate, you know, they're a wash.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm not really too – and it's not the – it's a good problem to have, I guess.
It's not your
– that's your question.
It's not your, like, cleanup hitter that you're talking about. And
well, that brings us back to the question or the strategy of how they're going to use Trevor Bauer and Shane Bieber in the beginning of these first two games. Bauer and Bieber are going to be available in the pen in case Kluber goes sideways, in case Carrasco goes sideways and they got to bring somebody in early, or if they want to bring somebody in the, you know, seventh inning after Kluber or Carrasco has pitched a shutout. You know, one of the other – I have a strong feeling that Francona is going to bring Bauer in game one at some point.
Yeah, I do too, and I don't think he's going to hesitate. You know, if Kluber gets into any bit of trouble, I mean, he's going to give his ace a little – he's going to give him a leash. You know, he's going to give him some length. But if he runs into any trouble, I think you go to Bauer. I think – to me, Miller and Allen, you know, there's so many question marks about those guys. I mean, Miller's health, Allen has just, you know, been, you know, riding a roller coaster all year, up and down. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. Mm-hmm. After, you know, 5 years of him being, you know, lights out of Mr. Consistency, and, you know, in 2016 in the postseason, he doesn't give up a run. But this year, this is not the same guy. So if I got a chance to get Bauer, as Francona said, in a leverage situation, sixth, seventh inning, I'm going with Bauer.
He's going to be the Swiss Army knife, at least in these first two, three games of this series. I think that's how they're going to use him. And then, like you said, if a game four comes around and he's pitched in game one and can come back and start game four, that's a strong possibility as well.
And then and if he does that, then you've got Bieber sitting behind him. You know, hopefully he hasn't had to pitch in two or three, game mm-hmm. two or three. And, you know, so I think it's a good strategy move. They kind of tried to do the same thing last year with Tomlin and Clevinger and Salazar, putting those guys in the bullpen for the ALDS. Salazar, you know, he was hurt, so he wasn't really a starter, but Tomlin and Clevinger were. But, you know, Clevinger couldn't throw strikes, and they took him out of the rotation, and Tomlin was okay, you know. Tomlin came in game two and won that game and won the game he was supposed to win.
Well, and there's differences between – you know, a Clevinger last season and a Bieber right now, or a Bauer. Bauer's going to come in and strike a guy out, and you can count on that. Bieber is going to come in and throw strikes. Clevinger last season, you couldn't rely on that. So maybe he's applying the same strategy as he did with Clevinger, but he's got better options
this
year to do that.
That's a good way of put it, Joe. I mean, I think and you feel confident with Bauer. I know he wants to. I'm sure he's you know, he's been tearing his hair out that he wants to start one of these first two games, first three games.
How's that work with Tito? I don't.
But I'm talking about
borrow
Bauer
somebody's
here.
Hair to do that.
I'm talking about Bauer. I'm sure he wants to start. I'm sure he's not the happiest man on the planet right now. But
you know, I'm tired of worrying about whether Bauer's happy or not. That's we spent 6 months worrying about whether or not Trevor Bauer is happy. Guess what? The playoffs are here.
Yeah.
Shut up and go out and pitch.
That's right, and that's what you do. You know, when you win and you're in the postseason, you can't complain.
Nope. And winning one of the two games down there in Houston would cure all of that, I think, for these guys.
And Bauer's got, you know, he's got the great numbers, you know, against Houston, 7-0. Although he calls it random variation, but hopefully the random variation doesn't catch up to him at Minute Maid Park.
Now Trevor's going to listen to this, and he's going to say, it's a random variance, Paul. Come
on, so. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. All right, let's jump in and take a couple of questions from our thousands and thousands of listeners to this podcast, and we'll get to that. And on the other side, then we'll look at the matchup and give you some predictions about, you know, because we know what's going to happen in the series, right? So let's think here.
All right.
Paul's got a few questions submitted via social media from our friends online.
Here's one from Sean Skinner. Francona is an idiot if he's seriously considering starting Bieber. He was inconsistent all season. I don't want to see this guy anywhere near the field, let alone starting. Bauer was having a Cy Young season before he got hurt. He should start. That's a no-brainer.
I'm glad that it's that easy for somebody to sit back and make that call. I don't necessarily think that Bieber's been that inconsistent. I mean,
won 11 games as a rookie.
He's a rookie, and he struck out more than 100 guys. Yeah. He's been pretty and low walks, and that's exactly what you're looking for in a playoff start. What did Ryan Merritt do when he came in the ALCS and won Game 4? Didn't walk anybody.
Right.
Gave up a couple of hits, and you know wasn't necessarily striking everybody out, but. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for this year's Ryan Merritt. Spot start, come in, and do the job.
And I still think, you know, it depends how much either one of those guys get used in the first two games, maybe even the first three games. I mean, first two games at least down in Houston. I mean, if Bauer, what if he pitches game one and two, are you really going to bring him back in game four? And especially you're looking at Bauer as a length guy, like we were just talking about. You want him to go two or three innings at least.
But here's the thing that I think about Bauer and Bieber. And Bieber's a rookie. He's happy to be on the roster and make it in the postseason, and this is all brand new to him and everything. You know, Bauer maybe emotionally, psychologically, or whatever, you have to tell him, hey, you're going to get in one of these two games, you're going to pitch, you're going to make a difference, this is what you can expect. If Bieber doesn't pitch in games 1, 2, 3, or 4, you're not going to affect him in any way. For him, this is all brand new, and this is all experience and learning and whatnot. And if in the ideal scenario, they win 3 games in a row and Bieber doesn't see the field, It's not gonna matter to him.
Right. Yeah, he's just glad to be here.
Bauer, like that's another story. But yeah. Bieber, you know, this is that. And again, if you put Bieber out there, you're not doing your team a disservice because he'll get you 4 or 5 innings and not put you in a bad position.
All right. This is from Bobby in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Because the Tribe effectively locked up the AL Central so early, will the lack of meaningful games in July and August impact the tribe's sharpness in the postseason?
There were moments that they sort of, you know, hung their hat on.
Yeah.
And there were times that they played. It wasn't necessarily that there were two completely lost months there. Yeah, they were the zombies. They sort of walked through the end of the season knowing that they had everything in hand. But, I mean, this is a team that's been to the playoffs 3 years in a row now. They know that the switch has been flipped. They're all saying the same thing in the locker room. They've been down this road before. I don't see that, you know, them needing any sort of extra motivation.
Yeah, I wish they would have been I would have liked for them to get pushed a little bit.
Yep.
You know, no one really challenged them during the whole season.
Blame the Twins.
Yeah, I mean, and right, and that's not their fault. They didn't, you know, they're in the division they're in, you know, and you got to play the schedule in front of you. But I think you're right. I think, you know, Francona has said this wasn't, you know, when you look back on September, he said, like, it wasn't a lot of fun. You know, it wasn't – he wanted to manage to win. You couldn't manage to win. I mean, you could, but you had to take care of everybody. You had to make sure this guy was rested and this guy was getting treatment and this guy wasn't available. And you kind of do your best. And now, you know, all the you know, they're not being bridled. There's no more reins. Mm-hmm. You got to let them go, and we'll see what happens. And I think what you said is good, Joe, because they are you. This is an experienced team, a postseason experienced team. 3 straight years. You know, what are they? Four of the 6 years Francona has been here,
mm-hmm.
They've been in some kind of postseason game. So I think these guys know how to prepare. Okay, let's see. This is from Jim Millard in Avon Lake.
Okay.
What do you believe are the chances of the Indians re-signing one of their high-profile free agents, such as Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, or Michael Brantley?
I think Allen and Brantley for sure are gone. I think they'll make they could make a qualifying offer to Brantley.
Yeah,
I could definitely see that happening. Miller, I don't know. I mean, with the craziness that happened last year with free agency and guys getting left out on the shelf, I mean that might, you know, shave a little bit off of his price tag, and maybe he wants to come back. But I, you know, there's got to be a team out there that's willing to pay for what he could potentially provide.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't helped himself this year with the injuries.
The last 2 years,
Allen,
he hasn't.
Yeah. Brantley, I think, you know, has proven something. You know, I think you're right. The Indians would probably consider him, giving him a qualifying offer one way or the other. That's probably going to be $17 to $18 million.
Definitely, it's probably more than $18 million.
Yeah.
And you know, if he takes it, that's not a bad thing for the Indians if he take, because he then becomes a stopgap in the outfield until they can bring somebody else along. You know, maybe Bradley Zimmer comes back at some point and is able to play. But if you make him the qualifying offer and he turns it down and then goes and signs a 3 or 4 year deal worth $20 million a year, that's entirely possible.
Yeah,
you get a first round draft pick.
Right, exactly. So I mean, and Miller and Allen, you know, I think, you know, the only guys that made money last year, free agents, were setup guys and relievers in the free agent market.
And, so, Brian Shaw
made a lot.
Was sitting in the clubhouse last night during the wild card game because he wasn't on the roster.
Yeah, so you know that's what happens. But so I think there's going to be a market for those guys. I think Miller, being a kind of high ranking guy in the union, mm-hmm. you know, one of the highest ranking players. A member of the union, I think he's almost got to go out in the market and test it. I would be surprised if he didn't. And this is a tough free agent market. This is, they got a lot of decent players. You know, Lonnie Chisenhall. We haven't seen Lonnie in a month, half a season. But what's going to happen to him? You know, I'm sure he's gone. Yep. There, no qualifying offer for him. But yeah, you know, Brantley to me might be the guy that you take a shot at.
And like you said, Cody Allen might actually welcome a shift from a closing role to a setup role, because that's maybe where the money is this year.
Right, so, yeah. Exactly. And we got one more here.
One more.
This is from Leslie Kaminsky from Parma. I'm concerned about Andrew Miller and Cody Allen. I think the Indian starters can get us 5 or 6 innings, but I'm concerned how the bullpen will do. Let's see, will it decide if the Indians advance to the World Series?
Wow, World Series. Let's stop you right there. She's confident that the starters will get 5 or 6 innings.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Have you seen Houston's lineup? I mean, you can be hopeful that they can get you 5 or 6 innings, but I wouldn't be confident.
Right.
And the same can be said for Houston's pitching as well. I mean, you can be hopeful that they can go that long against against the Indians lineup, but I don't know. When you get to Miller and Allen, are they going to be the Miller and Allen of, you know, the last 2 weeks of September or the final week of, you know?
Right.
They both in their last couple of outings sort of didn't put their best foot forward.
No.
Allen had that nice long rest, came back, looked sharp, and then the wheels fell back off. Miller, you know, had some really strong outings against they're against Chicago. And so it's the AAA team from, you know, wherever they're
right.
They're at. I don't know. My confidence right now in those guys is not necessarily as high as it was going into the postseason last year.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that's fair. I just think those guys, I think Allen, and we've talked about this before, he's carried such a load over the last 5 years that I think it caught up to him. And Miller, you know, he got squeezed really hard in 2016 in the postseason, and I don't know if he's ever really recovered that from fully. Now, like you said, we've seen him pitch well in September, both of them. Going down the stretch, the home stretch, they did not. But maybe that's just, a bad outing. So, but are they the key is, are they going to be the dominant close the door, you know, relievers that we saw in 2016 and, you know, at times during the regular season? And that's, I don't think anyone knows.
Did you see the job that Colorado's bullpen did last night against Chicago in the wild card game? And that was sort of the feeling that you got in the 2016 playoffs when, you know, when Miller and Allen took the field, that was it. It was a foregone conclusion at that point. And that's sort of the feeling that Colorado's bullpen gave you last night. Adam Ottavino was lights out. I don't have that same feeling this time around. Maybe they get out there in Houston and they prove us all wrong, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's why they play the game.
Exactly.
So we'll see what happens on that.
All right, let's take a look at the divisional series opponent, Houston. Like you said, 103 games.
103 games.
Season series against the Indians, they won 4-3. The Indians had to come back the last two games here at Progressive Field to sort of salvage that. At that time, Houston's bullpen maybe wasn't necessarily as good as it is now. They've solidified things with Roberto Osuna from Toronto on the back end. And their lineup, I'm not even talking about their starting rotation. Their lineup mirrors the Indians' lineup, pretty well with a lot of pop and a lot of contact at the top of the order. Bregman is a guy who has really come on, and maybe last year he was sort of the X factor for them. Now he really carries that team.
Yeah, and he's having a great September. He's a MVP candidate. With Correa not being 100% with the back injury, I think he's really stepped in, and he's even played a little shortstop.
Right.
So that's a guy to watch. And you know, they're predominantly right-handed. Right-handed lineup that's going to help the Indians, with their starters,
right.
With Kluber and Carrasco.
Except for when Carrasco faces Altuve because he can't get him out.
Yeah, right. And they got Altuve, and Altuve looks like he's healthy again.
Yeah,
so.
And that's sort of the reason why you have – Altuve finished third in batting this year, and nobody talked about him at all season because of the injuries and whatnot. But he's still, 170 hits and, whatever he's got. He's still one of the best, all-around hitters in the game.
Yeah, great player. Swings hard. He swings, takes a home run swing at everything, and he keeps making contact. They've got Marwin Gonzalez, kind of the jack of all trades and plays all over the place. Springer in center field. Their catchers are Maldonado and who's the lefty?
Stassi.
Yeah, Stassi, and then there's another guy in there that beat Carrasco in game two down there.
McCann?
Yeah, McCann, yeah, with the home run, yeah. So, it's a good lineup. Tony Kemp gives him a lot of production from the bottom of the lineup. So it's going to be a challenge. They're the World Series champs, and they didn't back into that thing.
Well, and what they did in the offseason, knowing that they had that lineup and those position players, was they went and doubled down and refortified their starting lineup. They brought in Gerrit Cole, and he's been nothing but a strikeout machine all season. And Verlander had a career year. Granted. When he turns into a completely different character when he sees an Indians
uniform.
Yeah,
we'll see for sure now.
Yeah, the lights are a little different in this sort of setting, but the way that their lineups or their rotation stacks up against the Indians to start off, the Indians have had success against Verlander. They've had success moderately against Keuchel. Cole is one. They actually won the game that Cole pitched against them here in Cleveland. That was the
14-inning game.
The Hatred Bowl between Cole and Trevor Bauer. So, yeah, I think it's going to be one to definitely watch with if everybody pitches to their potential. It should be a really exciting first couple of games here.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I think it's important for them. Obviously, they've got to win one game there. The Indians have got to win one game in Houston. It doesn't matter if it's the first or second game. It'd be nice if it's the first game. Then the pressure shifts to the Astros in a best of five series. And like you were saying, Joe, I mean, the Astros didn't stop. You know, they didn't stop and just kind of come back with that same lineup, even at the trading deadline. You know, they go out and get Maldonado, they go out and get Osuna, they go out and get Alex Presley from the Twins, and all of a sudden he's turned. I mean, nobody can get a hit off the guy.
Not in Minnesota anymore.
Yeah,
that's it.
So if the Indians win this series, they'll have earned it. You know, and I think if they do win it, I think it's going to have to go five games.
Well, and there. Okay, so now we've come to the end of the podcast where we give our predictions for. We're going to limit it to the ALDS for these upcoming games. Hoynsey, what do you see the result of this series being? Obviously, the winner and how many games?
You know, I think Houston, and I'm going with Houston. I just think I'm going with the defending champs. I think they've been pushed all year. The Angels have really gave them a run for their money going down the stretch. I think they're a little sharper, and I think they'll win in five games.
I too will go with Houston. I'm going to say Houston in four. And based on, I think, the top of the Indians' order has been sort of on a downward trajectory lately instead of that upward trajectory that they were on for most of the season. And I think it's the wrong time, and it's going to be too hard to shake out of it. I think you've got to hit the ball. You've got to put the ball in play. And I don't like the matchup right now of this Houston rotation that can strike out, you know, 13 guys per nine innings against the Indians who, you know, you're going to send Jose Ramirez up there and he's scuffling.
So. Yeah, and Lindor's scuffling. Yeah. They both have, you know, had – well, Ramirez has been in a longer slump than Lindor, but they both have struggled. And I don't know if they're tired. You know, those guys play an awful lot. I mean, Lindor had, what, 661 at-bats?
158 games this year. I think he only missed four games.
That's a lot. And, I mean, I know they're young guys and they're in great shape, but that's a lot of at-bats.
All right. Well, I will be sitting on the plaza outside of Progressive Field with a table and a sign that says, Houston in four. Convince me I'm wrong. So drop down a quarter, come out there and tell me. I'm not making any wagers or betting any of my jumping in the lake.
Don't do that.
I'm holding on to that chip. All right, Hoynsey is off to Houston for the series. We will see you when we get back here. We'll probably do a post-game podcast next Monday and next Tuesday. After next Monday for sure.
Let's do it then.
Let's look forward to the possibility of a Tuesday one here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast.